This week, the theme of our Bible readings is communion. And one of the scriptures we read this past week is found in the Gospel of John and chapter 6, beginning at verse 26. And I would invite you to stand as you're able as we receive God's word through John's Gospel. Jesus replied, "I assure you that you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food you wanted. Don't work for the food that doesn't last, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the human one will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as his agent to give life." They asked, "What must we do in order to accomplish what God requires?" Jesus replied, "This is what God requires, that you believe in him whom God sent." They asked, "What miraculous sign will you do so that we can see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus told them, "I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave the bread from heaven to you, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. As we receive God's word today, I invite you to watch two brief video clips that perhaps you're familiar with.
Marshall, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marsha, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better? Better.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is.
Like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Oh,
eat a Snickers. Better?
Better. That hurt.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfied.
Well, I'm not advertising for Snickers. There are like 10 of those commercials, and maybe you've seen them. But as it says in the teaching notes that you'll find in your bulletin today, and it's true, you're not yourself when you're hungry. You're not yourself when you're hungry. You know, getting cranky when you haven't eaten for a while is actually a very common experience. Perhaps some of you have experienced it. There's even a word that's been created to describe that feeling of crankiness we get. Does anybody know what it is?
Hangry.
Yes. A combination of hungry and angry. And you know, they've discovered, actually, there's been some research on why we get short-tempered when we're hungry. And hangry is actually a survival mechanism. It's our brain's way of telling us that we're getting low on glucose and that we need to refuel. Now, this past week, We were having dinner kind of late, and I was getting kind of grouchy. I can't help it, I said to Betsy. It's just my brain's survival mechanism. And she wasn't buying it. But, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry. This week I saw an interview with a recent draft pick for my favorite team in the NFL, the Washington Redskins. And he's a running back from Louisiana State University. His name is Darius Juice. And in this interview, Darius talked about growing up in extreme poverty and how as a child growing up, he knew what it was like to be hungry. When you're hungry, he said, you do things that you might not otherwise do. And then he talked about friends of his who got involved in drugs or prostitution or theft because they saw no other way to get money to buy food. You're not yourself when you're hungry. Well, this is how the people come to Jesus in our story this morning from John chapter 6. He's surrounded by a crowd of people. Now, the day before, at the beginning of John 6, Jesus had 5,000 people gathered, and he fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And now he's on the other side of the lake, and the hungry crowd has followed him there. And they're looking for another sign. They're looking for another meal. The crowd is expecting Jesus to keep bringing baskets of barley loaves as if he's a waiter at Olive Garden bringing endless breadsticks. But Jesus knows that what they really have is a different kind of hunger. It's not just the hunger that makes our stomachs growl. It's the hunger that makes our souls ache. And Jesus says to them in verse 27, don't work for food that doesn't last, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the human one will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as his agent to give life. Jesus tells them that they should work for the bread that endures to eternal life, not the stuff that molds and grows stale. And he's telling them and us that he satisfies our deepest hunger. This morning, I want to focus on 3 things that our souls hunger for. 3 things that Jesus provides for us. You know, our souls hunger, first of all, for forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus, the bread of life, satisfies our hunger for forgiveness. You know, as a congregation, we've been reading the Bible together throughout this year. Each day we have daily readings that focus on a certain theme. And if you're new to the church or you haven't gotten involved yet, we invite you to stop by the display and pick up a Bible and a reading plan. And if you're reading along, as we mentioned earlier, our theme this week is communion. You know, someone who has never been to church might wonder why we pass out these trays with little cubes of bread in them, and each of us takes a piece, and then we all eat it at the same time. And they also might wonder why we pass out these trays with little thimblefuls of grape juice in them, and again, we partake of those together. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some instruction in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about why eating this bread and drinking this juice has such special meaning for us. Let's read these words together. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you broadcast the death of the Lord until he comes. Holy Communion conveys a lot of meaning. And one of the most important is that at this table we remember how the body of Christ was broken, how his blood was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we might be set free. Some years ago, there was a movie out that was called The Mission, and it starred Robert De Niro, who played a character named Rodrigo Mendoza. Now, Mendoza was an 18th century slave hunter in South America, and early in the movie, he kills his brother in a fit of jealous rage, and he decides that he needs to pay some penance for doing this. And so Mendoza carries behind him all the armor and the weapons that characterized his life of violence and anger and slave trading. I wonder if, as you look at him pulling that weight around, you can relate to that. Do you see signs of things that maybe you're sorry for? Words that you regret, actions you wish you could take back, and they're trailing on behind you, dragging down the hallway or taking up room in the passenger seat of your car. In one of the most powerful scenes in this movie, one of the native people, someone from the tribe that Mendoza had once captured and sold into slavery, one of them cuts the rope that Mendoza had been dragging around, and the armor and the weapons crash down over a cliff and they're washed away in the raging river below. And it's a powerful symbol of the freedom that Mendoza now has because he's been forgiven. And his life is so powerfully affected by being set free like this that he becomes a missionary and shares the good news of Christ among the native people. You know, the Greek word for forgiveness literally means to cut loose. To say that Jesus forgives us means that Jesus, through his death on the cross, cuts loose the rope that needs to be put behind us. At this table, we experience that Jesus, the bread of life, invites us to let go of all that is past, all that we're still dragging along with us, and to receive his forgiveness. Secondly, Jesus, the bread of life, satisfies our hunger for communion. It satisfies our hunger for fellowship with God. Well, one of my favorite people, as you may know, is Mr. Rogers. And one of my favorite Mr. Rogers songs is one that you might be familiar with as well. And I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the words. It's you I like. It's not the things you wear, it's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new, I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you. It's you I like. You know, that song made such a powerful impact on generations of children and adults as well, because what Mr. Rogers is expressing in that song is the longing of every heart, I think. Every one of us yearns to be accepted for just who we are. And what Mr. Rogers was really singing about was communion. Communion, a word that expresses the deep fellowship, the deep relationship that we have with another person who doesn't look at us based on the outward things, but loves us for who we are. You know, at this table, Jesus becomes part of us, and we become part of Jesus. Communion is where, as sisters and brothers gathered in His name, find communion and be part of each other as well. In verse 33 of our passage, Jesus says, "The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, the one who has fellowship with us." So Jesus, the bread of life, satisfies our hunger. Our hunger for forgiveness, our hunger for communion. And then there's another thing. Jesus, the bread of life, satisfies our hunger for community. Community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul speaks again about what happens at Holy Communion. He says, "Since there is one loaf of bread, we who are many are one body, because we all share the one loaf of bread." This is a table where Jesus unites us. Unites us in spite of all that may separate us in the world. Many of you know Nelson Mandela's story. He was the first black South African president who reformed a torn nation through racial reconciliation. For 3 years after college, our daughter Rachel served as a young adult missionary with the United Methodist Church. And for the first 18 months of that experience, she served in South Africa. While she was there, Betsy and our other daughter, Jen, and I went to visit her for 2 weeks. And one of the highlights of our trip was visiting Robben Island, which is located about 4 miles off the coast of Cape Town, and it's accessible only by boat. This island was once a colony for lepers who were banished to that place so that they wouldn't infect others. But during the years of apartheid, political prisoners were sent to Robben Island, and Nelson Mandela spent 18 years of his 27-year sentence on the island in a very small cell, the one that's pictured here. 18 years. He was allowed out for about 1 hour a day. During the years of his incarceration, an Anglican priest by the name of Kenneth Wiggins made regular visits to the island, and he would visit Mandela and share Holy Communion with him in that little cell. And always there was a guard present to keep an eye on them. Well, on one occasion, Mandela interrupted the communion ritual, and he walked over to the white prison guard and asked if he was a Christian. And when the guard said yes, Mandela said, "Well then, you must take off your cap and join us around the table. You cannot stay apart from us. This is Holy Communion," he said, "and we must share and receive it together." In a society where races were kept separate and where people viewed each other with such suspicion, Mandela invited this prison guard to experience Christian community. At the Lord's table, we get a taste of this community that the whole world hungers for. And coming to this table is also our practice for the rest of the week. We answer the call to come to the table here so that we can invite others in our day-to-day living to join us in our fellowship with Him. At the Lord's table, there is no distinction between white or Latino, between black or Asian, Secondary things fade away. Enemies are forgiven. Strangers become friends. As we come to the Lord's table today, may we hear the powerful invitation of Jesus that we find here in verse 35. Jesus, the bread of life, welcomes whoever comes and whoever believes. We underline those words, whoever, because it emphasizes for us that everyone is welcome to the Lord's table. Whoever comes, whoever believes, never hungry, never thirsty. You know, farther on in John chapter 6, at the end of this story, we find that the people respond to this teaching of Jesus with disappointment. In fact, virtually everyone in the crowd is so discouraged that Jesus doesn't give them the physical food they want that they get up and they walk away. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and he asks if they too intend to leave. And we hear Peter's awesome reply. He says, "Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." You know, those who've tasted forgiveness in Christ, those who've tasted communion with Christ, those who've tasted the experience of true community in Christ, they know. They know that there is nothing, there is no one that compares to Him. And the more we enjoy His freedom, enjoy His fellowship, enjoy His peace, the more we realize how hungry we are apart from Jesus, our bread of life. Today, as we come to the Lord's table, I pray that each of us would hear His gracious invitation. Don't work for food that doesn't last, but come and believe and receive that food which lasts to eternal life.